You know, I had a really cool opportunity a few months ago to meet a guy named Jim. And when I think of someone who fears God and serves him faithfully with his entire heart, it's Jim. Myself and a few other of the camp directors here at Hume, we got to go out to Romania, a country in Eastern Europe, and we went to Bucharest. And in Bucharest, Jim has an organization called Heart to Heart. And Heart to Heart is an organization that works with orphans who are in the state-run orphanages. Now, Jim, he ended up out there in the early 2000s, and he was there, and he was seeing he was seeing what was happening with how many orphans were there. And just to give you a little bit of history of why those orphans were there is, in the 80s there was a dictator. His name was Ceausescu, and Ceausescu was much like King Saul, much like Kale. And that's, he started strong. People loved him when he first got into power, but he was a dictator. And as the years went by, he became more and more consumed with himself. He became defined more and more by what people said about him. And one of the things that he wanted is he wanted a really young generation that he could kind of mold and make them do whatever he wanted to. So in the late 80s, what he did is he made a law. He made a law in Romania that anyone who's married, anyone who can have kids, they have to have at least, no less than 5 kids. Yeah, a lot of kids. Which I mean, some families do that. Some of you are from families of maybe 2 or 3, but this was a law. You know, there's nothing like that. We've never heard anything like that here in the States. This was a law that had to happen. So everyone had to do it. And so all of a sudden, there's this population boom in Romania. Now, eventually Ceausescu, he fell because he was a bad man, he was making poor decisions, and he was ousted out of power. Well, when he was ousted, that meant that the entire economy crashed. I mean, money was no longer worth what it was before. There was no food to be found. The water, it was hard to find water because everybody needed it, and people were striking, people were going and taking whatever they wanted. It was just chaos in the country. What that meant was that there was hundreds of thousands of kids who by law had to be born, but their parents couldn't take care of them. They didn't have the money. They didn't have the resources. And so their parents started handing them over into orphanages. And there was hundreds and hundreds of thousands of orphans in the state-run orphanage system. And so Jim, he came into this. And I said earlier he came in the early 2000s. He actually came in the early 90s. And he saw this. He got to see as the orphans were in these orphanages, and he said, "Man, someone's got to do something about this." And so he went back. He was a successful home builder down in San Diego, full time living in California, and he went, "Man, someone's got to do something about this." He went to his church. "Someone's got to do something about this." And at one point he realized that someone is me. I have to do something about this. And so he started this organization, Heart to Heart. Heart to Heart is an amazing organization that brings the gospel into orphanages. Now, an orphan in Romania, you know, we've talked a lot about identity and being defined by something. Orphans in Romania are anyone in Romania really is defined by who their family is. And so if you have a family, that's who you are identified by. Well, for an orphan, they don't have that. And so what that looks like is they are identified by being unidentifiable. They are nobodies. But what's been interesting is Heart to Heart has been working in the country of Romania is how you can take someone who the system, who the government, who the society says can't integrate, someone who has no worth because they're just going to fail because they didn't have a proper upbringing. But when you bring the gospel into that situation, it changes everything about who they are. We got to make a video as we went into Heart to Heart, as we went into Romania. And it's a really cool video to show you guys kind of what Heart to Heart does and how the gospel transforms orphans in Romania.
That's never happened before. So, hey, I just want to take a few minutes to tell you a little bit about the kids in Romania, about Heart to Heart, and try to encourage you guys a little bit in missions. And you're saying, "Oh, come on, Jim. I'm just in junior high. I can't do anything." if I want to go do something, I have to get my mom to drive me. Is that right? Yeah, so what can you do? You know, why is this guy up here telling me about missions when, you know, I've got years before I can do anything? Well, let me tell you a story about a kid who got involved in missions, and she was a little bit younger than you guys, actually. Her name was Cleo, and she's 8 years old. Well, she called me on the phone one day, and she said, I was on the internet, and I saw about you guys work in Romania. I want to know more about Romanian orphans. And I said, well, okay, what's your name? And she said, I'm Cleo. I said, Cleo, how old are you? She says, I'm 8. And I'm thinking, what's an 8-year-old going to do? Really? I mean, okay. So I kind of talked with Cleo for a little while, and a little while turned into a couple hours. And, you know, finally she just said, you know, I have to come to Romania. I have to come work with the orphans. How can I do that? And I'm going, well, Cleo, you're going to have to grow up a little maybe, or, you know, talk to your parents and talk to them. Maybe they'll bring. She says, oh, I'll do that. I'll talk to my mom. She hangs up the phone, and I'm thinking, that's it. No mother will let an 8-year-old go to Romania. No way. So I didn't think much more about it. About a week later, I get a call from Cleo's mom. Yep, she's on the phone. She's going, okay, what's all this about orphans and my daughter wanting to go to Romania? And so I talked with Cleo's mom for a while, and after about an hour of talking to her, she said, you know, I've got to talk to my husband. Now, you guys have heard this before. What does that mean? Nothing's going to happen, right? It's over. It's done. Well, about a week later, I get another phone call from Cleo's dad. He's a little more direct. What's this going to cost me? So we talked for a while, and, you know, I laid it all out for him. He's going, wow, that's a lot of money. He says, I've got to think about this. And I said, okay. Hang up. What does I got to think about it mean? Yeah. Don't call me, I'll call you. Yeah. Well, I didn't think any more about it until about 2 weeks later when Cleo's dad calls me up, and he said, okay, Jim, we're ready to come, but I'm bringing 20 more people. I said, well, wait a minute. How do we go from you and your wife and Cleo to 20 people? She says, well, Cleo's been walking around church telling everybody about Romania and the orphanages and the orphans and that we've got to do something. And now we've got a whole team from our church coming. Can you handle it? I went, yeah, sure. Of course we can. But, you know, how does an 8-year-old do this? And she says, she is relentless. She won't stop talking about those orphans. So Cleo and a whole team from her church came over. They had an incredible time. For 15 years, that church has been sending teams every year to work with the orphans in Romania because of Cleo. Don't ever let anybody tell you you can't do something. If God has put something on your heart, you can do anything. Paul talked to Timothy and said, don't let anybody cut you down for your age. And I'm telling you the same thing. You guys have the ability to rock this world. You can change things. You can make things happen if you just believe that God will lead you there. Don't let anybody tell you, oh, you're too young. You got to grow up a little bit, because that is so wrong. All of my full-time missionaries that I have working for me now in Romania, they all made commitments to God at your age. They all made that commitment that I'm going to be a missionary, I'm going to go serve God at the age you're at, and most of them in camps like this. So I'm really throwing the thing out at you today that you think really hard and long about, what does God want to do with my life? Because this is the time to start. This is the time in your life to start saying, okay, God, what do you want me to do? Am I going to do something really significant for you? Or am I going to do like what Jim did and went and built houses for so many years and wasted so many years of his life when he could have been building kids' lives? So I put that out to you. I'd like you to look at the video, the rest of the video, see a few of the, well, I call them my kids. They're grown up now, but see some of the people that we've worked with and hear their story.
Oh, that's so cool. It's interesting. I was just watching that video and I was thinking about how Isabella and Sendell, the two people you saw in that, they heart to heart started working with them when they were actually younger than you guys. You know, they had spent a long time with, you know, what ages were they when you guys started working with them?
Well, let's see. I knew Sendell when he was 4.
Wow.
And Isabella, we met her at about 8 or 9.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just so cool that heart to heart, they go in. They spend time with the orphans in Romania, and realistically, they become basically your kids. And speaking of your kids, there's a cool story that I've heard you tell before, and I want you to tell the story of Anna and how she impacted the ministry of Heart to Heart.
Back in the early days of working over in Romania, orphans were getting nothing. They didn't have food, clothing, or hardly anything, and as an organization, we're shipping in containers full of food and clothing, secondhand clothing, and we're running big clothing drives and stuff like that. And I remember one day we were sorting all this clothing, and my daughter, Anna, she said, there's no underwear. I said, well, that's probably a good thing because this is all secondhand clothes. So, you know, it's like, you know, maybe it's a good thing. And she said, but what are you doing about underwear over there? And I said, well, the kids don't have any. And she said, well, we got to do something about that. Well, my daughter was the same age as you, just starting into junior high. And so she went to her student council and said, I want to do a project where we raise underwear for orphans in Romania. And this is in a public school. And I'm thinking, this could be touchy subjects. You know, we'll see how this goes. And so she got on the PA thing and put up posters and all this kind of stuff. And in 2 weeks, they collected 750 pounds of new underwear for the kids in Romania. Usually we talk about underwear in pairs or something like that, but in pounds, that is a lot of underwear. It took over 12 duffel bags stuffed full to get all of that underwear crammed in there so I could take it back over to Romania. So I fly over to Romania, we hand it out to the kids. Man, I tell you, the kids, they are just excited as can be. I had one little boy, he got a pair of Spider-Man underwear, and he was wearing it on the outside of his pants. He was so excited about it. I mean, it was really cool watching the kids, you know, get something new like that. So I'm flying back home, and I sit down in the seat on the airplane, and this guy comes in and sits down next to me, and we're talking about, you know, what are we doing over there? And I said, well, you know, we just got through delivering some underwear to orphans. He says, you guys need underwear over there? I said, well, yeah. So he reaches in his pocket and hands me his business card and says, call me when you get home. That was the president of Jockey Underwear. Jockey Underwear has been sending us truckloads of underwear ever since. So.
Oh, awesome. Thanks, Jim. That's such an awesome story, and it's all because Anna, Jim's daughter, who was younger than you at the time, same age as some of you guys, but it's all because she said, I'm going to do something. You know, sometimes as junior hires, you guys, you may feel that you're looked down on because you're young, or you know, sometimes you are identified by maybe people say you're squirrely or something like that. That's not you guys. You guys will rise to the occasion. What are those things now that you care about? What are those things that you're passionate about? You know, a lot of times God uses the giftings that we have or the things that we enjoy, the things that we love to impact others. For me, I've been blessed to be able with Hume to travel and see some places like Romania. And one of the things that I love doing is I love photography. Like I like taking pictures. It's a blast. And so when I go to another country, one of the things that I do as a rule is I'll be taking photos and I'll take the camera strap off of my neck and I'll give it to someone in that country. And I'll say, hey, just take photos. And it's a really interesting thing that happens there because I love it. They go, oh, I know that this is valuable, so I'm going to take care of it. And they start taking pictures. And many times I've given it over to people who have never taken a picture in their life. And so they start taking pictures. And eventually we'll start to talk. And what inevitably always happens is they'll say, why are you here? Why are you in this country? And I'll say, I just want to know more about you guys. I want to know who you are, and realistically, I want to talk to you about Jesus. and all because I like photography. And it opens a door to talk to people. I don't know what those things are that you are passionate about, those things that you love, but God uses our talents. He uses our interests to impact his kingdom. Maybe for you guys, maybe you're phenomenal artists. Maybe you're a really good musician. You're fantastic at the guitar or something else. Maybe you're a soccer player or you love sports. I don't know what those things are, but I do know that whatever they are, God wants to use them to impact other people. And maybe that could look like using that talent or that gift or that thing you're interested in to impact other people overseas. I'm not saying that all of you guys need to go overseas, but what I am saying is that you guys do need to use those talents and use those giftings to impact others for the gospel. You know, that verse when we talk about 1 Samuel 12:24, the end of that verse is considering the great things he has done for us. Well, every single one of you, God has done something great for you. But for you as a junior hire, how are you going to use those great things he's done for you to impact the others around you? I think it's easy to just kind of write it off and say, yeah, that's not me. But when God says, when Jesus says, go and make disciples of all the earth, he's not just talking to just some of you who might want to. He's talking to all of us. Jim took that call and he went over to start Heart to Heart. And because of that, God has blessed that ministry and we get to hear about Isabella and Sindel. Well, Sindel, the man in the video, the second guy, he actually 2 weeks ago graduated from seminary. And now he's looking to start a church. And that's all because somebody said, I'll be used. I'll do it. I will do it. What are those things in your life now? What are those ministries in your church that you can be involved in? Now, as a junior hire, is the time to begin practicing the habits of a missionary. Those habits are prayer. It's being plugged in to your churches. Spending time with your youth pastors and your counselors. They are the ones who are going to teach you what it looks like to be a disciple of Jesus. And when you are a disciple of Jesus, then you go and make more disciples. Guys, I'm so excited about your generation. You know, realistically, you guys are the ones who are going to replace your youth pastors, going to replace us here on staff. Like, you will be the ones who rise up and take over from us. But now is the time to begin thinking about what that looks like. And in a room this size, I'm pretty convinced that some of you guys will end up overseas. Because you're gonna hear the call that God has on your life, and you say, I will respond to that. I will do it. And maybe that's not orphanages. Maybe that's trade schools in Africa. I don't know what that is. All I want to say is be obedient to what God asks of you. I think we've seen a really good example this week of how not to be obedient, of someone who wants to do it on their own, hides in their little man-made throne. Let's not be people who do that. Let's be people who take up the call and share the gospel because of the great things that God has done for us. Guys, today at 1:15, Jim is actually going to be out on the human beings deck, and he's got something really cool happening. He's got these cards, and he went around and he took pictures of all the orphans, not all of them, but a lot of the orphans that they work with, and he's got these cards, and it's their face and it's their birthday on it. And you guys, it's $10. You can buy one of those cards. It's a cool way to be able to pray for that student. He's got their names on them as well. Pray for the ministry of Heart to Heart. But also on the flip side, it kind of gives you some more information if you want to partner with Heart to Heart, what that looks like long term. That's a cool way to do that as well. Again, it's $10. He's going to be out there. He's got some t-shirts out there as well. But you can see him out at the Human Beings deck. He would love to talk to you guys more about Heart to Heart, about how you can be involved, and even just maybe some of your ideas, how you guys want to be involved or what missions could look like for you guys. Tonight, we're actually going to do an offering, and that money goes to support Hume International. Hume International, what we do is we take Hume, the experience you guys are having here this week, and we bring this to students over the world. So we have, we're going to Papua New Guinea in November. We're going to be running camp for students in Papua New Guinea, in the jungles of Papua New Guinea. Many of their parents are Bible translators in the jungles. And we get to bring camp to them. Many of them are, you know, as we've talked about identity this week, many of them are, you know, they don't know where their identity is, because they're Americans who live in Papua New Guinea, who don't fit in Papua New Guinea, but when they come home, they're more Papua New Guinean than they are American. So it's interesting to be able to talk with them, and it's really cool to be able to run camp for them, to be able to see what the Lord does in their life. So we do that. We also go to Thailand and run camp for missionary kids in Thailand, and it's the same kind of thing, you know, the whole idea of not knowing where they fit in. So that's going to be tonight. If you feel led to do that tonight, bring some money for that. But also, I want to challenge you guys as we go into this next little bit. I'm going to ask you guys, when I release you, to get with your cabins. I want you guys to get with your cabins. I want you guys to pray about what it would look like for you to be involved in missions. And I want you to ask the question of your counselors and youth pastors, what are we doing for missions overseas and even missions here in our own cities? What are those ministries that you as a 6th, 7th, 8th grader can be involved in now? Because I think Jim did a great job of illustrating the fact that you guys have a lot of impact. And you guys can impact the ministries at your churches just by being passionate about sharing the gospel. So we're going to go into a time now, you're going to get with your cabins. You're going to pray over the ministry of Heart to Heart. Pray for Romania, and then start asking the question of how can I be involved in missions at home and abroad. After that, the bell's going to ring, and you guys are going to go get ready for a little thing called recreation today. Recreation, that's right. So our recreation today is we have got Super Spirit Day. Our theme for it today is fairy tales and fables. That's right, princes and paupers. So I want you guys to be dressed up as princes, paupers, any of your favorite fairy tales growing up, maybe fables, anything like that. But today, it's going to be awesome. We've got that Relay Day, Super Spirit Day. Hey, before we go to those times with your cabins where you're gonna spend some time in prayer, I'm gonna pray for us, and then you guys are out of here. Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for these young men and women. God, as we've heard stories of what people even younger than them can do for your kingdom, God, that we would be people who rise up and take up your call so that the people of this world can know the gospel, can know what you have done for us, because God, it is so great. Father, I pray that in a room this size, there will be many young men and women who will take up the call. God, that you will be putting it on their hearts now to know that the call that you have on their life is to share the gospel. God, I thank you for today. I pray for a safe and a fun day, but God, a day that glorifies you. Father, we love you. In your name, amen. All right, head on out. Get with your cabins. Spend some time in prayer. When that bell rings, come on back in.